revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since that may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Romans 1:18, 20 in the NIV version.
Okay, family, I'm going to invite you to go to your knee so you're able to, we can pray to our Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for another day of life you give us. Thanks so much for the Sabbath day. We thank you, Lord God, for this beautiful sunny day. And what a rejoice that we're here in your prayer, in your house of prayer. And also we pray for our dear brother that is going to be sharing the message for us today. I pray that your Holy Spirit be here with us. Also, I pray, Lord God, for those people that maybe they're here, but maybe they need you, Lord God. Maybe they need some healing in their lives and physical healing, and maybe their relationship with you or maybe their spouse or something. I just pray, Lord God, that you please be with us. Change us for good and help us, Lord God, to be close to you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Where is your future home? Yeah, heaven, but actually we're only going to be there temporarily. Permanently, we're going to be where? Yeah, back here on this earth. And who paid the price for our future home? Yes, Jesus paid the price when he died on Calvary. And he's making a home for us. He's coming back very soon to take us home. And who's invited to live there with him forever? Everybody's invited. Everybody's invited. Not everybody is going to accept, but everybody is invited. Jesus invites all of us to accept his invitation to live there with him forever. And who is it that keeps trying to keep us from accepting that offer? Yeah, Lucifer. He hates Jesus, and he hates us, because Jesus loves us. I'd like to pray for just a moment. Father, be with me as I speak today, and I pray that it be your words that are spoken, that the impressions, the thoughts that each person receives will be a message from you. We know that you are the Creator, and that's why we're here today, worshiping on the Sabbath, because you are the Creator. You created us, you redeemed us, and you're coming back to take us home. Lord, we love you for that. Be with us now as we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So lies. Have anybody ever lied to you? Never. Oh, dear. Yes, yeah. I think we can safely say that we've all lied. And, you know, most of the lies we tell, we think of more in the sense that they're little white lies, you know. Somebody comes along and says, well, good morning, and you don't feel like it's a good morning. But most often, what are you going to say? Good morning back. Okay. Maybe that's a lie, maybe that's not. Maybe that's just being polite. Or how about, how are you today? Do you really tell people how you are today? Most of the time we don't. We spare them that. So, you know, we come up with a long list of little white lies. Well, Merriam-Webster says that, first of all, the first definition is to make an untrue statement with intent to deceive. With the intent to deceive. Second one, very similar, to create a false or misleading impression. And the third one is an assertion of something known or believed by the speaker or the writer to be untrue with, again, the intent to deceive. And so this is the, you know, the main object of a lie is to deceive someone. And we've all lied. We've all been lied to. And sometimes the lies are insignificant, like, good morning. Yeah, good morning. But sometimes they're much more important than that. In general, young people lie more than older people. In general. Now, there are exceptions to that. There are people who, you know, almost every word they say is a lie. But in general, children lie more often than adults do, or older people do. Now, do you think women lie more than men, or men lie more than women? Well, that's a little touchy, you know. Ask my wife. She'll probably say, yeah. Actually, it's very interesting. Studies show that it's about even. Men and women lie about the same. And, of course, you stop and think about human nature and everything, and that kind of makes sense. But it is interesting what they lie about most frequently. Women are more likely to lie to someone to make them feel good. Oh, you have a new dress today. How beautiful. Or, is that a new hairstyle? And you may not care about that at all. Men, on the other hand, are more likely to lie about something that makes them look better. Oh, the fish I caught was this big, you know, type of a thing. Do you like to have people around you that you know are liars? Well, I'm sorry, but you're surrounded by liars. I am too. Now, we try not to, you know. We pray that the Lord will change us, and over time He does. And we can come to the place where we no longer lie. Some of the things that happen in this world are really tragic, you know, because of lies. One of the big things that I hear a lot about more recently are internet scams and phone scams. You sometimes see those on the news warning you about this or that. Have any of you ever had a phone call from a scammer? I know I have several times. Yeah. And what do they want? Money. Sir, you have just won $1 million from blah, 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 you know. All you have to do is send us a certified check for $2,000 to do the processing, and you'll get your $1 million in a couple of weeks. You know, stuff like that. And literally hundreds of millions of dollars are lost to people because of those types of things. And, you know, all of us are a little gullible at times. And apparently a lot of this is older people, so I need to be a little more careful about things now than I used to be. But, yeah, many people take advantage of older people and lie to them a lot to do that. Have you ever been stabbed in the back by somebody you thought was your friend? Something they took and said something about you, or, you know, I know I have, and it hurts a lot. But all of us have suffered lies, and the Bible gives us no doubt as to where those lies originated. And it tells us who the first liar was, and it tells us what the first lie was. Ye shall not surely die. And that lie is still around. Jesus put it this way about liars. He said, ye are of your father the devil. and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So whenever you lie, it's a result of our fallen nature, because our first parents accepted a lie. They were duped into that and didn't believe God. And now we are stuck with that situation. So where can we go? Because we know that we're all liars. We know that there are lies around us all over. Where can we go to get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? The Bible. That's what our song was just talking about. Yes, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. So we can always go to God's word to get the truth. Jesus also said something about himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So Jesus is the embodiment of truth. We go to the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to do that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we study this. This should be something we pick up every day. We read every day. We look at every day. And when we have problems, we can go there to find the answers. The world around us says something different. We have God's word and we have man's word. And so, give a couple of examples here. God's word, God created everything in 6 days. Find that in Genesis chapter 1. The world, they say creation came from a single point, the Big Bang theory. So do we believe God's word or do we believe man's word? Another one, creation was finished at the end of creation week, and it is not continuing. God said it was good. He was done with it. He rested. Find that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. The world says, no. Life happened by random chance over millions of years, and it's still going on. We call that evolution. And that is one of Satan's biggest lies. And that's kind of the focus of my sermon today, is Satan's big lie, evolution. Last example, the earth is a few thousand years old. We get that from just doing a little calculating in our Bibles. The world today tells us, and this keeps changing, but this is the most recent one, is that the world is 4,600,000,000 years old. And is that true? No, I don't think so, because I go by God's word. I don't believe that lie. In 1925, volume one of a two-volume set was written. The second volume was written in 1926, and it was published by somebody, and actually it was kind of a warning to the world of what this individual was planning to do. When it was first published, very few people bought the book, and even fewer read it. I mean, it was 720 pages long, and it wasn't easy reading. But believe it or not, it has at times been a bestseller. In the country that it was originally published in the first 20 years, it sold 10 million copies. So it was a fairly well-known book. Some of you may have even read portions of it. The author didn't actually write the book. He dictated it and had his cellmate write it down for him, because he was in prison when he did it. And this was his original title for the book, 4.5 years of struggle against lies, stupidity, and cowardice. What would you like that for the title of your book? You know, 4.5 years of struggle against lies, stupidity, and cowardice. Well, when he took it to the publisher said, I don't think that's going to sell. So they changed the name, and today we know it as Mein Kampf, my struggle, or my battle. Hitler wrote this book, and Hitler was a liar, and he told a lot of lies in his book. The father of lies inspired him, and because of that, tens of millions of people suffered and died. The whole world was hurt. Hitler used those lies to get people, especially young people, onto his side. And here are a couple of quotes from his book. By an able and persistent use of propaganda, heaven itself can be presented to the people as if it were hell, and vice versa. So he says, if you, you know, get the right propaganda out there, if you present it in the right way, you can get people to believe almost anything. Another quote. These young people will learn nothing else but how to think German and act German. And they will never be free again, not in their whole lives. He was targeting the young people. This one wasn't in his book, but this is a quote from one of his speeches. He alone who owns the youth gains the future. Is that true? That is a true statement. And he was using it to get what he wanted out of the world. And frankly, that's why we have our own school system. That's why we have our own church. That's why we have Sabbath school. Is because we want to educate our young people to know the Lord as the Creator and not to follow these cleverly devised lies of men inspired by Satan. When Hitler became the dictator over Germany, he set his plans into motion. His Nazi propaganda head was Joseph Goebbels, and he said this: youth belongs to us, and we will yield them to no one. They were going to take over the young people, and they did. I don't know if any of you have ever talked to a person that was in the Hitler Youth. Any of you ever talked to somebody who actually was in the Hitler Youth? I see a couple of hands. My sister, actually I think both of my sisters, were taught by a woman, a German descent, who was in the Hitler Youth in Germany, and we listened to her talk. Her husband was a commander of a submarine, one of the few U-boat captains that actually survived the war. And so we heard their story firsthand. And they worshiped, literally they worshiped Hitler. And that was a brainwashing process. They were lied to. And so we find that by 1939, this is just as the war is getting started in Europe, it hasn't affected us dramatically at this point. But by 1939, over 90% of the children in Germany were a part of Hitler's youth organization. Over 90% of them. He had the young people, and he was teaching them what he wanted them to hear. And over several years, he brainwashed them to the point where they were willing to fight and die for him and for the empire that he was claiming that he wanted to build for the world. Hitler believed in the idea that the end justifies the means. Have you ever heard that before? You do something, and it doesn't matter what you do as long as the end result is a good thing. I don't subscribe to that. I try not to live that way. And it's not a good idea. But that was the way he did. And, of course, if he'd read his Bible, he would have known that he couldn't do what he was trying to do, and that was unify all of Europe. The Bible prophecy says that wasn't going to happen. There had been people before him that had tried that, and it hadn't worked. And by the end of World War II, about 10% of the German population was dead, as well as somewhere, they actually don't know how many people died in World War II, but the estimates range from 70 to 85 million people worldwide. And again, those are estimates, but that's a lot of people, a lot of people. Lies enslave us, and ultimately they're going to do what? They're going to kill us. The Bible says that, you know, liars aren't going to make it to heaven. There are going to be no lies in heaven. So lies enslave us and ultimately kill us. The truth will set you free. Absolutely. Satan has lots of lies out there, and he's been working on those since Adam and Eve. For hundreds of years, thousands of years actually, he's been introducing new religions, ideas, and so forth. In the past few hundred years, he's been particularly interested in one, and we call that evolution. Now, the evolutionists will claim that it's not a religion, but it's a belief system. And what is a religion? It's a belief system. And so it is a religion. He's lied to the whole universe, and he's got billions of people following him right now. The Bible tells us, enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So it's easy to go the wrong way. Most of the world is headed that way. So we don't do a mob mentality. We don't follow them. We look for the path that God has set before us. And again, one of the most successful things that Satan has come up with is evolution. And I want to take a few minutes to look at public education. We support Christian education, and we try very hard. I spent most of my life teaching in Adventist schools. Public education doesn't have some of the boundaries that we do. You know, we try to teach everything in a framework of God, the Bible, Jesus. This is from a recent Scott Forsman science book for second graders. Okay, these are young people, about 7 or 8 years old. And in there, they ask the question, what happened to the dinosaurs? Well, sounds simple enough, innocent enough. My kids always loved dinosaurs. I see pictures of them and get models of them and read about them and stuff. They're very interesting and exciting. And most little kids do enjoy dinosaurs, particularly guys. Well, then it goes on to say, dinosaurs lived in the earth for millions of years. Now we've got a problem. Because now they are telling something that we believe is a lie. But do they tell them that this is a theory? No, they don't. And then they have also in this book, they had a timeline for dinosaurs. And so they present it as a fact. And little children believe most of what you tell them. Now, going to the third grade, same series, they said this, some kinds of plants and animals no longer live on the earth. They are extinct organisms. Many different events cause them to disappear. You know that dinosaurs are extinct. So here they're reinforcing what they did in second grade, talking about the dinosaurs. Some think that dinosaurs are extinct because the weather changed their habitat millions of years ago. So again, they're presenting this as truth. So they've learned both of these, the first, second, and third grade, they've learned that there were dinosaurs that lived for millions of years, and they lived millions of years ago. In fourth grade, the text introduced the idea of mutations being beneficial, even though scientifically nobody's ever proven that any mutation is an advantage. In fifth grade, they introduced inherited traits, what they get from mom and dad. They talk about trilobites, millions of years old. They talk about plate tectonics, the movement of the continents. And they tell them that it took 150 to 200 million years for these plates to move to where they are today. sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, they continue to enlarge on those concepts, and never once in any of these, in this series, never once is the word theory ever presented. You know, it's a guess. That would be a good word to use for little kids. This is a guess rather than theory. They may not know what theory is, but they don't say that. They present everything as if it is an actual fact. Now, let's take a minute and look at how Satan presents this to high school, college, and to adults, you and me. He has what one book calls icons. Icons of evolution are supposed to be the best evidence for Darwin's theory. And all of them are false or misleading. What does that tell us about the theory? Yes, this book very carefully documents all of these things. I'm going to do very briefly, go through most of them, not all of the ones in the book. But this is a great book to read to understand the lies, the way it's presented in a way that doesn't say a lie outright, but gives you the inference of something a certain way. And these show up regularly in textbooks, magazines. You've seen them probably on the front of many magazines. If you've been to museums, you've seen them in museums, at national parks, all of these places. And you'll probably recognize most, if not all, of them. Now, Charles Darwin, this picture beside him there, is his first sketch of what is known today as Darwin's Tree of Life. Frequently, it's presented as a tree with one trunk and many branches. The one trunk says that everything came from one source and that it branched out into all of these different plants and animals and so forth. It's called the Tree of Life. They've gotten rather creative with it. This is one of the more modern ones. The very center there is that moment of life, and then it's spread out from there into the billions of different creatures that we have today. So this is the first one, the Tree of Life. Second one, Darwin and his finches. They're called Darwin's finches even today. And it's very interesting because Darwin didn't care about the finches. Darwin didn't write about the finches. Darwin didn't pay much attention to the finches. Somebody else did, and they put his name on it. And so they're not Darwin's finches. He could care less. You read through his books and literature, and there's one little place where he mentions, oh, yeah, I saw these finches on the island, type of a thing, you know. But his finches, the beaks, are used as evidence of evolution. And as they have been studied over the last couple of hundred years, something interesting has been found out. Instead of them diverging into more species, because his, quote, the theory is that one finch got there on the islands and has morphed and changed into 14 different species now. Studies have shown that actually it seems to be going the other direction. Many of these finches are interbreeding, and some of them are starting to disappear. And so there are actually going to be fewer finches species instead of more. So this one was a lie. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. One thing I did want to mention about this. I passed over it here just a moment. One of the big problems with this idea of the trunk and branching out is that nowhere in the fossil record do you see this. You have what's called the Cambrian explosion. All of a sudden, at the lowest levels that they dig in, that they can find, there are thousands of different species. They just, all of a sudden, they're all there. And so that's a big problem. And they've never found an intermediate between any two species. They've never found something that was half this and half that. Although, the missing link, they call it. Although they have tried very hard to find that. Okay, sorry. Ernst Haeckel. Have you seen this picture? The embryos there on the side? No? I'm amazed. Maybe I'm the only one here. None of you have ever seen that before. Okay, a couple of you have. Well, I'm surprised because you see this, I guess it's because I taught biology and science and so forth, so I see it all the time. But I've seen it in magazines and so forth. This one is actually just a big fraud. The guy that drew these was trying to show that in embryo stages, all of the different creatures look pretty much the same. And so a man, there's one, we can't read them up there because they're so small, but also it's in German. But, you know, the far right one is man. And the next to the left one, the second one from the left, is a salamander. You know, and he's showing that, you know, they're very similar looking. But he doctored the pictures. They don't look anything like this. And it's a big lie. And yet you will still find this picture in some biology books and science books. It's amazing. Okay. Archaeopteryx. Maybe you've seen this one. This one, there's been a lot of talk about this one because when it was first discovered, it has feathers. But it has teeth. And most birds don't have teeth. And it has this long tail that looked a little reptilian. And so it was first touted as, oh, it's half reptile, half bird. Here is our missing link between reptiles and birds. We knew there had to be one. We found it. Well, as more of them have been discovered, as they've studied them more completely, they've come to the conclusion that, no, it's just a bird that's extinct. We just don't have these birds anymore. It's a species of birds that's just gone. It's like the dodo bird. We don't have them anymore. It's extinct. And so it's a bird. But they don't tell you that in many of the books. They still show this. Okay, this one. This one, I have to turn around. It says read the caption. I meant to write it on here. I didn't. Miller and Urey's device testing Operin's hypothesis produced organic compounds, including the amino acids that are shown there, glycine and alanine. The inference of this is that what they were trying to do was produce life. And so they tell us that they produced all of these organic compounds. Do you know what an organic compound is? I hear somebody talking. I can't hear what you're saying. Organic compound simply means that it's a compound that has carbon in it. You and I have carbon in our bodies. We're a carbon-based life form. And so organic compounds are just things that have carbon in them. Well, there are lots of things in the world that have carbon in them that aren't living. And virtually all of the things they found that were carbon-based were not used by living organisms at all. And yet they don't tell you that. They infer that these organic compounds, you know, we have organic foods. You know, today that word is really used a lot. And so we get the idea, oh, this is, they had all these, you know, life things that they found in there, you know. No, not true, not true. And the two acids that they found in there are very minor acids that are used in making proteins. They didn't even come close to making anything that had life in it. Not even close. Next one is, this one gets a little more technical. I'm not going to tell you all of the things about it, but basically, they claim that all of these came from the same original source, you know, evolution. One creature started, and all of these different types of limbs evolved because different creatures needed different means of locomotion. We as creationists look at that and say, well, no, that makes a lot of sense. You know, you use a same basic style, but you adapt it for swimming, flying, walking, climbing, you know. And so you have many of the same parts. It's like cars. You know, we went out the parking lot. Some of those cars are front-wheel drive. Some of them are rear-wheel drive. Some of them are four-wheel drive. Some of them are two-wheel drive. Some of them are pickups. Some are cars. Some are electric-driven. Some are gas-driven. You know, some are diesel. You know, God used a pattern. To me, this shows design, not all of this diversity that they're talking about. This one is frequently used. There was a theory that these moths were from Great Britain, and that during a certain period of time, certain ones were disappearing. The white one is the normal one, the black one is the oddball, and that the white ones were disappearing at a faster rate because they were so obvious on the tree. Problem is, these moths don't land on trees. These were dead moths that were caught and glued to the tree to take the picture, to produce this idea. A fraud, you know, ridiculous. And of course, this one I'm sure you're all familiar with. This one we see all the time, various ways, this way or like this, ape man. And of course, they've never found the one in the middle that's the actual cross between a man and a monkey. I went to the University of Berkeley years ago for my professor at PUC wanted me to get some information on trilobites. And at the foyer of the library at the time, there was this big mural on the wall. Actually, it was a display. And it had this tree of life on it, but it was of apes and men. And they had this trunk coming up, and they had the gibbons and the orangutans and the gorillas and everything. And then they had this branch over here that was man. But they had, interestingly enough, they had a break in it. And they had a big question mark placed there, the missing link. And I was surprised that the missing link was there. I mean, that they actually admitted to it. But, you know, in this, they don't even do that. They just say, hey, there it is. That's the way we came. And children and young adults see this over and over and over again, and they're brainwashed into believing these lies. There have been a number of bones found. There was Neanderthal man. They thought he was the missing link. Well, not. They finally decided, yeah, he's all human. There was the Java man. Again, they said, oh, we found the missing link. After further study, nope, he's all human. There was the Peking man. He was, oh, yeah, this is the missing link. Guess what? Fully human. Then they had the Solo man. Again, fully human. Then they started thinking things like the Piltdown man. I don't know, you maybe have heard this. This was a big hoax. Somebody took part of a human skull and part of an orangutan skull and put them together and said, okay, but that was a hoax. And then there was the Nebraska man. It was a tooth that they thought was human. It wasn't. It was a pig's tooth. It was a big hoax. And then there was a guy that went so far as to have this great big 10-foot-tall statue, I guess you would call it, carved out of material and presented it as a fossilized human. That was called the Cardiff Giant. And, of course, that was just a big hoax, too. Well, publishers have been asked, why in the world do you put all of this stuff in your books when you know that it's a lie? And they do. They know it's not true. And most of them will say something like this. We know that evolution is true. Okay, they've been convinced of this. They believe that evolution is true. And this is an easy way to get children to believe it. So you tell kids lies to get them to believe something that you think is a true. This is, you know, the end justifies the means, that whole idea behind that. And these icons are around us everywhere. Everybody gets saturated with them. So we don't want to be confused and tricked by Satan's lies. We look at the Bible. Our scripture reading today, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They're suppressing the truth. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. If you look at the world around us, if you really look at it, you'll see God's fingerprints there. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. God's made it so plain that there's no question about it. If the ushers will pass out the connect cards, we'll take a real quick moment to look at those. There are three questions on the back of that that you may want to look at. Fill out the front. You can hand them to me or to one of the elders or one of the deacons as you leave today. But the three questions or statements that you can affirm yourself with. I believe that God created the universe and everything in it. I do. I believe that. I believe that He is the creator, that He made everything. The Bible tells us that. It tells us how He did. He spoke, and it appeared. The second one, I believe that God created this world and man a few thousand years ago. There's no millions or billions of years. God created this world that we live in about, 6 to 10,000 years ago, somewhere in that range. And third, I believe in a creator God, not in evolution. Satan wants us to believe in evolution. God wants us to believe in creation. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said this: there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Satan wants you to die. He doesn't want any of us to be saved. Evolution says that we die and we're buried and that's it. We're done. Jesus says, I offer you eternal life. You can live forever with me. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Jesus is coming soon. We know that. This world can't last much longer. Satan has filled the world with lies. He's constantly trying to trick us into believing things that are not true. And we have to be on our guard, and we have to train our young people especially, because they're so susceptible, because they're young and inexperienced, and they so quickly and readily soak things up. They're like a sponge, and they believe you. So we need to be careful. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are our God, that You made us, that You created us, that You sustain us, that You made the entire universe. And Lord, we worship You as the Creator today on Your anniversary of creation, the seventh day Sabbath. Now be with us as we go from here, that we will be a blessing to those around us. May we be quick to discern Satan's lies. May we spend time in Your Word so that we can be strong as Jesus was in the wilderness to answer Satan's temptations with Your Word. Thank You. Come soon, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.